Okay, so tonight I'd like to continue along with the 3-week theme, picking out another aspect of what we're missing because we don't have a base of Middash. How, and also connected to the Parshios this week of Matos and Maaseh. Starting off with Parshas Maaseh, it talks about, it mentions on the very first Aliyah, all the places, all the stops and the journeys that the Jews had in the desert. They went to here, they camped, then they traveled and went somewhere else. It's a very long Aliyah, or a very short psukim. Usually the psukim are like 4 words. Vayisu from there, Vayachnu there. And most of them, the Torah doesn't say tell us a thing about the, what if anything happened in those places. And a few of them are major things happened, so the Torah mentions it. Otherwise, we know nothing of what happens in those places. So why bother telling us all those things? So that's how we're going to tie it into. That's from Parshas Maaseh what we're going to tie into. The importance of knowing the journeys of Klal Yisrael, 42 of them. Why do we need to know them? So in order to start tying that all together, one of the major mitzvos connected with the Beis HaMikdash, which we learn about in Shmos, Sefer Shmos, is the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Rega, a pilgrimage that all Jews had to make during the Sholosh Regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. What was the mitzvah? You had to leave your house, pack up, take everyone with you, move to Yerushalayim for the week, and bring karbanos, and be there for the Yontif. So now remember in class when I'm teaching this, so I just try to make a picture for the kids. Everyone's packing up their donkeys and their camels, going to Yerushalayim. They probably have to travel through Delaware, go over the bridge. So you imagine the traffic they're going to have with all the donkeys and the camels. Finally, they make it. They get over all the bridges and all the highways. They pay all the tolls. Now they finally get into Yerushalayim. Now the hardest thing to do is probably find a place to park the animal. And probably there's double parking and triple parking. And the kids are kvetching that they have to go to the bathroom. Well, when are we going to be there? Can we have a snack? So just a typical trip to New York. Just imagine that on donkey and camel, the whole family. This is taking days. Imagine if you're living all the way up north or all the way down south. It could take days to get there. It's a real pain in the neck to take everyone. And finally you get there. You finally get there, you have the place to pitch a tent. So you have to set up shop for a week. So the whole thing is a major pain. So why is Hashem commanding us to do it during those 3 times? So it's interesting to know. Oh, no, 2 questions. The Torah says, if a person is blind in one eye, he is putter, he is exempt from the mitzvah of Ol Rego. Number 2. So you have to have 2 working eyes to be able to be obligated to make the pilgrimage. Number 2 question. If you don't own any land, you don't have to be Ol Rego either. It's only if you're a landowner do you have to go up. So that's interesting. So why the difference? What's the importance of owning land? The Torah says you have to go up to be Ol Rego on Sukkot when it's the Zman of Sukkot is Chag HaSifa when you gather in the crops. Pesach is when you harvest the crops, and that leads Shavuos, probably, when you have to plant the crops. So the three Olah Regels are all connected to harvest, different harvest agricultural times of the year, the planting, the harvesting, and the gathering in. Why is that important? Why is it connected to those agricultural moments during the year? So the Sifsei Chaim, Reb Chaim Friedland, as Zatzal explains, based on Ramban, let me just read this. B'shlosha regalim elu, during these three times of the year, adam osek, or asuk ben yonei atev, a person's busy in the natural world. He's planting something, he's harvesting something, he's gathering it in. Imkein chas v'sholom ohu l'ayos mushpa me'atev. Chas v'sholom, there's a possibility he might be influenced by the teva that he's so involved in. L'chush. And we're worried, shekochav yotem yodi, asoli asachai oza. He might fall into the trap of thinking, this isn't God doing it, this was me, it was my hard work, it was all my preparing, my blood, sweat, and tears that went into this. I'm up there 3 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock at night, making sure everything's growing properly. So it's not God, it's me. Hakein sifsa Torah dafka bizmanim elu. That's why during specifically these three times, the Torah says, go mi olorego, go to the base of Migdash. L'chush, to feel before, like l'chush before means to like, make it real. Feel it in reality. That you're standing in front of the Master Hashem. Shashem yisparchu adon v'habal habayis hamafarnaso. To remember that Hashem is the master and the owner who really gives you the sustenance that you get. And all the power of planting, harvesting, and gathering, man is not doing a thing. He's all meriting this. Only because he's standing in front of Hashem. Only because he recognizes that Hashem is the Baal HaBayis. He's the Baal HaBas. Because otherwise, we fall into the trap of, it's us. I made the deal. I made the investment. It was my idea. I implemented it. I got it to work. And we forget who's really the one who's making everything work. That's also part of what Shabbos is. We get that a weekly basis to stop everything, to realize Hashem is the Baal HaBayis. And when we get to the base of Migdash, and we behold the Shechina, the Poel, like in reality, you can feel it, you can sense it. But going back to it's in the air. You walk away a totally different person. The way I term it when I was thinking it over, let's say a person is in a boat and the boat stops working in the middle of the Atlantic. So you radio in Mayday to the Coast Guard, they ask you for your coordinates and you give it to them. But since your boat's not working, you're subject to the currents of the ocean. So in a half hour from now, you could be totally out of their radar. Using those old coordinates. So what do? You drop anchor. So even if you drop anchor, you'll float. But there's only so much you can float away from that area. So whatever you float, you're always going to be within the coordinates that the Coast Guard can find you. You might not be in the exact location, but you're close enough in that area because of the anchor. So during the year... During the year, we float away. We talked about this with Pesach Sheni also. But it's the same concept. We float away. We get so involved in everyday life, Baruch Hashem, with mitzvos, sometimes not with mitzvos, but we just get so caught up with things, and we sometimes just forget to think about God. You don't take that time out to think. So Hashem said, I'm giving you 3 days of the year to anchor yourself, that if during the year you float away a little, you're still within range. You're not floating or drifting totally way off the coordinates. So the 3 times during the year, coordinating with the Zriya, Ktsiya, and the Asifa, when it's most likely you're going to think, oh, me, great farmer. Hashem says, me, great farmer. You, just puppet. So when you go home, you'll be reminded that, yes, you have to do your shtalus, but Hashem is doing all the work. That's important to remember. In everything we do, in our business dealings, it's all siyata d'shmaya. It's all siyata d'shmaya. We just, you know, the example I give with the shtalus to the kids, I don't know if they really understand it, but you all know, you go to a magician show, what's the one thing that a magician needs to have? The old-fashioned magicians need the magic wand, right? You got to be able to go like this. So a little kid who's watching the show, he really thinks the wand is doing something. It's a magic wand. The wand is making the rabbit in the hat so he can pull it out. But we all know as adults, it's shtick. It's all shtick. When we go to work, when we do something, it's shtick. We're not doing anything. Hashem is doing it all. We just have to go through the mission, the actions. We have to pretend we're doing. Just like when Moshe Rabbeinu set up the Mishkan for the final time, he said to Moshe, I'm not going to be able to set up the Mishkan by myself. Hashem said, just move your hands like hocus pocus, and I'll do the rest. So that was the shtablus Moshe had to do, is just pretend he's doing something, and it happened. So we go to work, we're making phone calls, so we're pretending we're making the deals, but Hashem is the one making the deals. So we just have to remember that. And in case we start to drift and start to think that I'm the one who's making all those deals, we have the Aliyah L'Regel to remind us that's really Hashem doing all the work. We're just doing the magic wand stuff. Also interesting, during Ol L'Regel, they would show everyone the shulchan. So everyone was able to see the beautiful golden shulchan. And what was on the shulchan? Lechem apanim. Cold or warm? Fresh or stale?
Fresh.
Even though it's like could be like a week old. All the importance of everyone to see that. That if you were worried about being an Ol L'Regel and closing up the store for a week, and you're worried about parnasa, and that's going to hold you back, look at the lechem apanim. You have fresh, warm bread that's already like a week old. So if Hashem can make the lechem apanim stay warm and fresh, He can take care of your parnasa, because the lechem is the symbol of parnasa. And also, there's another measure that says they will pull back the curtains of the Kodesh HaKadosh and show how the Keruvim on top of the Aron were hugging each other. That's also a symbol of a strong, loving relationship that we have with the Rabbonu Shalom. Once again, if we're willing to make the sacrifices to show our dedication to Hashem, Hashem is going to show His dedication back to us and take care of our possessions that we left behind. I don't know if that means they still have to get someone to feed the fish, or the fish get fed by itself, or stuff like that, you know. But if you leave everything behind, Hashem's going to make sure no one's going to break into your house, and you're going to have panasa, even if you haven't gone to work for a week. So the whole idea of Ol L'Regel is to emphasize the relationship Hashem has with us, that He's not going to let us starve. All we got to show is our dedication and belief that He's the Baal Bas. And we are just working for Him. And once again, the base of Mikdash is our anchor. Now today, we don't have a base of Mikdash. But we still need an anchor, right? What do we use for that anchor? So the easiest thing to say is shul. The Mikdash Ma'at is shul. I remember in Savannah, there was one family my family was close with. He was in his 50s. Totally reformed. totally your form. You put it on Torah for the first time in my house. Baruch Hashem. So, he marched, like you said, he didn't know what a shofar was. In his place, that you literally used the trumpet. I had to explain what Hashem was. He never heard the Hashem. It was, that's how far off he was. So, Baruch, I don't know how he's doing now, but, you know, Baruch Hashem, better than it was. So, when he was going through that stretch of transformation in his life, in his family's life, he would just walk into shul and sit in the sanctuary and just think. Rabbi Wein told us, during the Six-Day War in Miami, people would just come to shul. They wouldn't take out a tellum. They would just think and talk to God. Use their own words. Because that's when they felt they needed an anchor. They needed something to latch onto during the times of trouble. So that's what we have today. We have the shul to also to go into, whether it's shul time or not shul time, just go in there and think. Use your own words to talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Talk to yourself. Ask yourself, am I drifting? How much am I drifting? Can I get back to where I was? How long will it take? What's the plan? But the shul today is our anchor, one of the anchors. I think another anchor that we have is family. It's family. Baruch Hashem, the last 2 days, we had family over. It's just really beautiful watching cousins and just playing on the yard. It's just really nice. There's nothing like family. It really is. I think we all know that. It's just you when you get a family simcha, a family get-together, you just wish it doesn't end. Because everyone is just, you know, family. You know, you have all the stupid family jokes that get passed down from generation to generation. You know, that's an anchor that we need to always keep in mind, that it's sometimes the most important things we have, we sometimes are the first things that we have. We have to remember family is the most important thing that we have, besides the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's what's going to, a big anchor. I can tell you honestly, going through my health issues this year, the community was beyond great, totally beyond great. I think something I wrote, I said, you guys made your own Chai Lifeline, Jewish Caring Network. It was just unbelievable. We were just overwhelmed by everything. But I can't forget the 2-3 weeks that my brother flew in from Memphis and stayed with me in the hospital so my wife can go to work. Now my brother came down for, my other brother from Stanford came down for a few days, and now my sister came down right away, took care of the family. Everything was totally crazy the first very first week. That's family. When it comes down to it, they're going to, hopefully, Master Hashem, they'll come through in the clutch. Now comes the... is also one of those very important anchors. That's why Shabbos and Yom Tovim are family time. Pesach for sure is family time, because, as we mentioned, by Pesach time, Paro knew the importance of Jewish family. That's why he wanted to, everything that he did, his whole cheshbon was always, let's get rid of the family, let's break up Jewish family. That is the secret to our success. If I can break up the family, I can break up Klal Yisrael. And everyone, Moshe Rabbeinu stood out there, we can't do that. And that the army of armies is the yontif that Paro tried to break up the family, is the most family-oriented yontif, the Seder. All the aunts and uncles coming from everywhere in the country to have a Seder. That's an anchor. I believe also there are certain presidents in the White House, in the Oval Office, they have a certain president's picture or painting on the wall. I don't know if they move it in there for their term, or they just walk around the White House. When they have important decisions to make, they look at the picture, and they ask themselves, what would this president do in this situation? And they try to get into his head and try to be like a Talmud of his. That's their anchor. They have someone they can look back to into the past and say, when he went through a situation similar to this, how did he react? Somebody should react the same way, or at least comparatively the same way. So same thing. We also have to have our role models. Role models is also a different type of anchor. We ask ourselves, what would this person really do in this situation? And once again, of course, I'm not talking about the sports role models or the music role models, because A, it's an oxymoron, I believe. They're not role models. Whether you want to be it or not, they really shouldn't be. We're talking about the Gedolim, Rebbetzins. They're our role models. So we've got to ask ourselves, what would they do in this situation? How would they speak in this situation? What would they say? What would they not say in this situation? That's also an anchor. There could be family members that are not with us anymore, but we could just say, what would they do in this situation? You know, the pictures of family members that are scattered around everyone's house and just remind us of a time gone by. You know, just say, that's an anchor that we all probably wish deep down that we can go back to, because it's an innocent, more innocent time. It was easy, life was much easier then, whatever it is. But it's an anchor in our lives, in our turbulent lives. We need as many anchors as possible. So if we can't have the Beis Hamikdash, which would be the ultimate anchor to keep us grounded in an ocean of turbulence, at least we have a shul. At least we have role models, and at least we have our family. All in different ways that fit our situations. And my wife, as I was talking over the shir, I mentioned that when did the problems in Mitzrayim start? When Yaakov died and the children died, when the Shvatim died. That's already two generations later. The next generation after the Shvatim, so they didn't have a Zayde Yaakov, they didn't have a Tati Yehuda or an Uncle Yosef to go to, say, what should we do in this situation? So they were on their own. It's all the cousins now. And therefore they lost that connection back to Yaakov. If you lose that connection back to Yaakov, you lose the connection back to Yitzhak and also to Avraham Avinu. So I think that fits in also. Why does next generations go away? Why do they drift? Somehow because the anchor wasn't steady for them. It wasn't grounded as strong as it should have been. So therefore, when they look back for support, whether in their mind or physically, in their minds, there's no one there to help me. They got lost. They drifted away. So they'll take the next best thing they think will make them happy. That's the importance of the anchor. And also, that my wife said, Yosef, when he was being seduced by Potipharah, and the Medrash says he was about to give in, Medrash says he looked out the window, what did he see? The face of Yaakov. His anchor showed up at the right time, at the right place. And he was able to see that my anchor, what would Yaakov think of me if I give in? So just based on that question, will my parents be proud of me if I do this? What would my sisters and brothers be proud of me if I make this decision and go in that direction? All those questions that we ask ourselves is an anchor type of question. Because you want to keep yourself within the boundaries of your coordinates, of Torah and Yiddishkeit. We might drift, but you want to be close enough that you can still be within the realm of coming back in safety. What does this have to do with Parshas Maaseh, with the Masos? Why is that important? I think this connects also with the whole theme of Sefer Bamidbar. Bamidbar means desert. How does it start off? That they're Har Sinai, they're about to leave, they're about to travel through a desert, go straight to Eretz Yisrael, but guess what happened along the way? There were a few bumps in the road. Well, it's something that was supposed to be a few weeks or a few days, turned out to be 38 years. And that's why they had to make all those stops and journeys, because it got messed up along the way. And how does it end up? It ends up, as the Pasuk says, these are the mitzvot that Hashem commanded us on the plains of Moab, opposite Yericho. Right now, they're right across the street or across the river from Eretz Yisrael. They've reached their goal. They're about to go over. You just have to wait for Moshe to die, Yeshua to take over. And then the journey's complete, or at least this leg of the journey. They're getting to the promised land, something that they've dreamed about, they heard about in Mitzrayim. Now it's right there. They can taste it. They can see it. But along the way, there are bumps along the road. But still, they made it. That shows if Hashem is still commanding them to do mitzvos, and Hashem is commanding them because He believes that they have a future. If they have a future, that shows, once again, His commitment to us also. He loves us. He's going to protect us. Despite all our mistakes in the desert, and all the meandering that we had to do, we still got to the end of the trip. And we're going to be successful. It started out at Anchorage to Har Sinai, and we went through all the journeys, and we got to the end of the chain, which is going into Eretz Yisrael, but we made it. I think that's what we could take out of Sefer Ben-Midbar. Despite all the problems we had to go through, which we made for ourselves, but we're here. And we're still here. I think that in current events, the fact that we can still say we're still here, I think is the same as the Jews saying at the end of the 30, 40 years in the Midbar, we're still here, despite ourselves. So we as a nation are still here despite ourselves. As much as we try to drift away, purposely or on purposely, or, accidentally, but as long as you still have that anchor, we're in the ball game. And that's what the Torah mentions with the 42 masaos, the 42 travelings and encampments. That life is a journey. The general journey of Klal Yisrael, which started at Yetzias Mitzrayim, continued at Har Sinai, and will end, or continue even better, with Mashiach. It's one long chain that we're in the middle of. And they're personal journeys that start at birth. And I'm sure you can ask yourselves a lot of questions. If you really would have thought 50, 60 years ago when you were growing up, sorry if some people are, younger than that, or... he said, do you think I would be in 2015 in Silver Spring, Maryland? I don't know how many people would have said, yeah, for sure. I know I wouldn't have. Boy from Brooklyn. But there's a journey. Went from Brooklyn to Muncie to Baltimore to Savannah to Silver Spring. Don't ask me how I got here. But the Rebbe Shlomo was leading us on our personal journeys. And we get to a stop, we have to say, this is where God wants me now. What can I do, not to make the most out of it, to be the best that I can be in this spot, in this encampment? And if God says, okay, you did what you needed to do over here, guess what? Maybe there's another stop along the way. Maybe there's always Florida for retirement. And if you get there, you're not stuck there. What does God want from me there? That's the journey. And wherever you find yourself on the journey, just remember Hashem is leading you there and helping you there. And you got to drop anchor there sometimes and make yourself, grounded wherever you find ourselves, wherever you find yourself, whatever age, whatever situation, that's where God wants you. And just remember, the most important thing that we have are our anchors. Because it's very easy to get lost in the traveling, in the journeys, and say, where is God, why in the world is God putting me here? The answer is good. God has a purpose for you there or here. That you're doing your tachlis in life, your purpose in life. And right now, God needs you there. In a few years, he might need you somewhere else. So be ready to step up to the plate. I think I mentioned this also. Be ready to step up to the plate. When God calls your name, calls your number, be ready. I remember, this is going back into the very happy days, and for those who really can go back. So, you know, all that whole cover of friends, you know, Ron Howard, you know, Potsy and Ralph, they're all on a basketball team. So it was at the end of the game, so the coach called, Ralph, get in the game. So he took off his training outfit, and he had regular clothes on. He says, why aren't you dressed for the game? Because you never play me. So I'm not ready for today. You ought to be ready when your number is called. Whether you never played in a whole year or whatever it is, you've got to be ready. And one of the ways we stay ready is if we're always anchored in the right way, so we're always ready for something. And that's what we have to take out of, I think, of Maaseh in this part of the 3 weeks. One of the main anchors that we're missing in our lives is the Beis Hamikdash. And we can't, you know, unless you live in Eretz Yisrael, you have the Kosel. But today, when we're here in a Chutz La'aretz, and we don't have the mitzvah of Ol Regel, we have to look for things to anchor us. Say, this is my fallback when I'm not doing well. When I feel I'm not being the best type of Jew that I could be, I have to find something to anchor me. It could be a kapitel tehillim. It could be a mitzvah that you love to do. It could be a place that you like to go to and think. It's a place where you can just think about yourself, be yourself, and get yourself back on track. Okay, Me'etz Hashem, by keeping ourselves anchored, when Mashiach does come, it won't be a long swim to get back to where we need to be. We'll be close to it all the time. Okay, thank you for coming. Good evening.